Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Special program lined up for you. And you know, it's always good to get outside perspective. Nobody knows it all. And there are so many different topics out there that we try to find for you to make our show interesting and relevant. It always comes back to money one way or another. Sometimes I reach a little further out. So I hope you find today's program interesting. I've invited Jennifer Fitzpatrick to come on the program. Now, Jennifer is a special lady. She has over 22 years of experience in healthcare. Her background is a blend of both professional and her own personal experience. She's been teaching gerontology and business for the past 10 years at the college level. She's been an adjunct instructor for Johns Hopkins University, Townsend University, and Howard Community College. She's an author of numerous articles and works on aging and senior care. And she's also been writing much to bring out her first book on the topic. She's also served as an educational consultant for the Alzheimer's Association of Greater Maryland. So, Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
How's that? That was a good read, wasn't it?
Really good, yeah.
Well, you've got so much there that I wanted people to have your background. The reason I invited Jennifer on the program is she's just a wealth of information about aging and how we deal with it, for ourselves, which we can talk about, and we're not as young as we used to be, but also with our families. And so, you know, we could go a lot of different directions with this, and there's gobs and gobs of information over on Jennifer's website. It's generationshealth.com, but with a J, playing off the Jennifer. So generations with a J, health.com. So let me do this. We had talked before, Jennifer, about maybe shifting gears. And when people see their family or their friends, and maybe they haven't seen them in a while, or, you know, one of those things about noticing aging is if you're with that person every single day, you don't notice it maybe as much as if you haven't seen that person in a while. It's kind of like when we were kids and we come back from summer vacation. It's like, wow, let's see how different everybody is.
Right,
and it's only been
right.
3 months, you know. But
right,
back then,
see how everybody's changed.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to look like? Will they still, you know, will they have three eyes? I mean, but that's what happens as we age. We never stop aging, and we hope not to for a long time. So I guess the first question is, as we spend time with family, what's normal behavior? And then what are maybe signs of dementia or some other challenges that somebody may face?
Great question. Okay, so this being a holiday week and a lot of holidays coming up, we're going to be seeing maybe family members, older family members we haven't seen in a while, maybe a month, maybe even a full year goes by. And it's a great time to assess, are there any changes going on with your older loved one? Obviously, if you live down the street from your mom, you see her a couple times a week, some of these changes might not be as noticeable to you as they would be maybe to a sibling who comes in from out of town and sees mom only a few times a year. So it's nice to get that perspective from people who don't see the older loved one as often. So some major things are changes in personality. If somebody is really acting differently than their usual personality, that's something to be concerned about.
What causes that? I mean, is that something where their brain starts to work differently? They're reacting differently? Where are we coming from with that?
There could be so many different reasons. Okay. But with an older loved one, if they have some change in personality, it could be dementia related. And it could be a temporary dementia, actually. It could be as a result of depression, for example.
Or you could have bereavement. I mean, it could be somebody going through a loss of a friend or another loved one.
All kinds of things can cause changes in personality for that person. And we have to remember, the holidays are very stressful. We all like to think of the holidays as being this wonderful, relaxing, peaceful time. But just because somebody has a little bit of a change in personality doesn't mean we need to be overly alarmed, but it is a red flag we want to look at. We want
maybe
to
tune in a little
bit
and pay attention.
Exactly.
Mm. Well, I can tell you the holidays are very stressful. I've got both families in town, but that's stressful.
It's very stressful. You figure traveling, if you're hosting an event.
Hey, try eating two Thanksgiving meals and try and act
like
you haven't eaten. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
No, but I think this is part of life, the aging, but to be aware and tuned in, because then if we see that, then as you said, Jennifer, we can be more cognizant and we can look for other signs. Maybe that person needs some help or there needs to be some sort of support there that may be required.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So other things might be if you're going to your loved one's home and the home is not as organized or doesn't look as good as it usually does. Now, maybe mom has always been maybe not the best housekeeper. For somebody who their housekeeping wasn't really a priority, that wouldn't be a red flag for that person. But we're talking about if a loved one, an older aunt, older father, mother, you go to their home and it usually was in very good condition, very pristine, clean, tidy. And it's really not looking like it typically does, that could be a red flag. And again, it not necessarily memory problems or even anything mental health, but it could really be just, are they struggling with doing those activities of daily living and those instrumental activities of daily living, such as cleaning up, tidying up? Can they get to the grocery store? Have they been able to have, bring in maintenance if they need it? And for what you do, that it's so important, if maintenance is being neglected, is there a financial reason
exactly
behind it? So there could be so many different reasons. But any kind of change, and if we see several changes at once, those would be big red flags.
Yeah, and if we see that, the guard needs to go up, the bridge needs to be pulled up, and we really need to go into a little bit more of a protective mode, especially as it relates to finances, as well as that they're their overall health and maintenance, because people that have, and I've seen this happen, where people have been taken advantage of because they became just not as sharp. They'd lost some of their mental ability and they got taken advantage of. So we're not talking about just, oh, mom or dad's a little more forgetful or they takes them longer to do something. We're talking about impairment.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, Jennifer, let's take a quick break. Jennifer Fitzpatrick's our guest, ladies and gentlemen, generationshealth.com with a J, generationshealth.com, and we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Jennifer Fitzpatrick is a wealth of information. I see what you guys don't know is I have a list here of about 15 or 20 topics that I know I could ask Jennifer cold and she's going to be able to talk to us. So I'm going to hit you with another one, Jennifer.
Sure.
I really am fascinated by your work. I think the thing that very often that people hear some of these terms, they're not really clear on what it means. So if you don't mind, I'm going to put the car in reverse and go kind of back to the beginning and ask you to help us understand a little more about the different types of dementia.
Absolutely.
The types, the causes,
sure.
What are some of the treatments that are available?
Absolutely. Okay, so dementia is really symptoms. Dementia, in my opinion, never should be your diagnosis. It is... Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind for most people is memory loss, short-term memory loss. But for many people, dementia symptoms can include confusion, maybe getting lost in familiar places, maybe you go out for an evening walk after dinner and you can't find your way back to your house. Personality changes for many people can be part of that. Loss of initiative, not, that get up and go. So we see... just confusion, change in personality, memory impairment. And this can be caused by so many different things. And there's a lot of reasons that dementia symptoms can occur and you can treat it. It goes away, such as the person has depression. For older adults, sometimes depression is the cause of such symptoms, not just sadness, not just, you know, isolating themselves, but those dementia symptoms.
Let me jump there, right there, Jennifer, and say, because another issue that is surprising to a lot of people is substance abuse among seniors. Could that be something that could be part of that, where, of course, that could be certainly linked to the depression? So that could be a whole other element here that we need to be aware of.
Absolutely. And the most common, of course, are prescription medications and alcohol. Yes, older adults, anything that a younger person can abuse, an older person can abuse. And people sometimes forget that. They see an older adult and they assume that they're sort of above that, or they're too old to become addicted, or
yeah,
to
they're
have
just they're laid back, or they're kicked back, or they're past all that.
Exactly.
You know?
So yeah, absolutely. So you're exactly right. When you see symptoms like that, like confusion, memory loss, we don't want to. You never want to jump to conclusions.
Yeah, that's
the
key point.
You want to look into any pop. There's all kinds of reasons you could have those symptoms.
It's something to be very tuned into. I think that's what people need to be aware. Now, a related question I wanted to ask you is just for all of us out here listening to you, Jennifer, you know, are we at risk for dementia? Share some of the facts that exist about normal aging in the brain. I mean, is it something that we all can expect that is we may face this? And I guess we need to be prepared for that, right?
Well, dementia symptoms are never normal. It's never a normal part of getting older. Just like having cancer is never normal. Many types of cancer are more frequent as we age. Many types heart disease is more frequent as we age. Many types of dementia are more frequent as we age, but it's never normal. And many, many older adults never have dementia symptoms. So it's something we want to have on our radar screen. It's something we want to be aware of. But we just want to, if we do see these symptoms in ourselves or somebody that we care about, we want to go to the doctor and we want to get it looked at, find out what's causing it. And again, a lot of the reasons we might have these symptoms, urinary tract infection, for an example, can cause some of these symptoms. We treat it with antibiotics. So there are, but of course, what you're getting at, it sounds like, is the more permanent type of dementia.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really something that, you know, I want to get to. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk with Jennifer about some of the strategies to deal with discussing options with a newly diagnosed dementia patient. Jennifer Fitzpatrick, generationshealth.com with a J, generationshealth.com. Right back after this break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. Jennifer Fitzpatrick is our guest, and I kind of teed it up there for the break about, you know, let's say, Jennifer, that somebody, you know, we've seen these signs of dementia. The family has responded, or the you know, a caregiver has responded, and the person's been diagnosed. What's next?
Well, the diagnosis process in and of itself takes a while.
Okay.
So if there's depression, if there's urinary tract infection, usually a good doc is going to be able to identify that pretty quickly. If it's truly a permanent dementia, a proper diagnosis can take a year. It might even take longer because there's a lot of testing involved, and we want to watch the symptoms. Sometimes we can't. A good doc that specializes in this field isn't going to be able to say with certainty what type of dementia it is until the symptoms are there for 6 months, a year, sometimes even 2 years.
Well, is that true with Alzheimer's as well?
Well, okay, so Alzheimer's is a type of permanent dementia.
Right.
So dementia symptoms, Alzheimer's is simply one type. Roughly 65 or 70% of the time, if an older adult has a permanent dementia, it's going to be Alzheimer's
okay.
disease. And the other 35% of the time, 30-35% of the time, the dementia symptoms, again, if it's a permanent dementia, are caused by Lewy body dementia, Parkinson's disease, vascular dementia. So, again, first thing a doc wants to do, find out, is it something that can be dealt with? It's a temporary condition. Like you had brought up substance abuse. If the symptoms are from substance abuse, maybe we get that person into treatment, or we try to get that person into treatment. If it's from depression, we try to treat the depression. If it's as a result of a B12 deficiency, for example, we treat that. But if we find if a doc is finding that it's not from one of those temporary conditions, then the doctor is looking at what permanent dementia is causing these symptoms.
Well, that's a very deliberate process, and I hope that, you know, any doctor involved is being so deliberate and so focused. And, you know, there's a lot of concerns, of course, over the people being able to get enough time with the doctor and to get, you know, that time that the doc can, you know, identify these things. And so it's really a lot of this sometimes is up to family and friend and caregivers to help identify some
yes.
of the things going on. Now, let's just jump ahead a little bit and say, okay, if somebody has been, maybe let's go with something more clear and more permanent, which is the Alzheimer's.
Right.
Let's say somebody has had that diagnosis. For them and for their family, what are some of the things, I guess, what should they expect? Because, I mean, we can be cognitively aware of ourselves and be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So let's first talk about, you know, the person who's experiencing this. What can they, I mean, I know this is a very general thing to talk about, but what are some of the things they can expect?
Well, what they can expect, the person with dementia,
yes.
what they can mm-hmm. expect is they can expect for people to be very uncomfortable around them.
That's really helpful because, you know what, I was asking in a way to say, well, what would their experience be like? But it's that interpersonal thing that you just spoke to.
A lot of family members are afraid to ask about it. So if you're diagnosed early enough, you still have an awareness.
That's my point.
Yeah. And so a lot of family members, friends, they're going to be, especially the generations that we're speaking about, mm-hmm. that are most, you know, and you're most commonly, people are diagnosed in their 80s. Now, they certainly can be diagnosed earlier. But that generation, the generations 80 plus, they still feel there's a stigma associated. So if they're open with friends and family and they're talking about their diagnosis, a lot of friends and family are going to be uncomfortable, won't want to ask questions, don't want to bring it up. So the person with dementia or with Alzheimer's disease may need to just educate them, or the family might need to say, hey, it's okay, we are aware of this diagnosis. But just to be aware that some people are going to be very uncomfortable talking about it or hearing about it. So the person with dementia, the person with Alzheimer's disease, should expect initially to really be planning for the future. If you're diagnosed early, we want to, you know, seeing somebody like you, seeing an elder law attorney, getting your affairs in order. On mm-hmm. average, an Alzheimer's disease diagnosis lasts 9 years.
Yeah, so it's kind of a bleed off or a transitional period. It's not this, you know, cliff.
Right.
You know, it's gradual, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And I will tell you that, you know, I have had firsthand experiences in working with clients, Jennifer, and I think it's real important for people to hear what you're saying, which is to be aware that not everybody's going to react the way you expect them to. And, you know, you have to decide what you're comfortable talking about. And I'm thinking of a specific individual, a couple that's been clients of mine for a number of years. And you know, that he came in, we talked about it, and he was of that generation that you're referring to, and very, very proud, very private. And so after I understood where they were, and he's, you know, kind of a man's man, and I said, well, I said, I tell you, here's the deal. I said, I will help you any way you need me to. I said, but I have one condition, that you are going to get some extra hugs when I see you. Okay, so that was my deal. And he kind of smiled and said, okay. but you know, not everybody's going to react that way. And I think that that's probably one of the most important things that I've learned from you today, Jennifer, is that for the person going through this, they need to understand that although very well-intending, people may not know how to respond. They may not know what to say. So,
right.
You know, use the best of what you got to communicate with them and let them know, you know, how you feel about it and what they can do to help.
And in my experience, my opinion is that the early stages, which depending on the individual can last 2 years, can last 4 years, the early stages, I believe that they're the toughest for the person with the condition.
Yeah.
The later stages, the mid stages, the late stages, that's where it's really taxing on the family.
So it's harder for the individual up front.
That's in my opinion.
That's interesting. That's I think you're right on, Jennifer. Harder for the individual up front because they're going through this adjustment, and then it shifts because as they get older and progress further in with the dementia and the impairment, then it shifts to the family because they're the ones having to bear more of a responsibility and not to be too cute or callous about it, but for the person experiencing it, maybe they're becoming less and less aware or self-aware about that.
Well, that's exactly it. They're less aware. When someone goes through the mid stages of the disease, they're really living in the moment most of the time. So they're typically not thinking, oh, wow, I've lost my memory. That's not typically what they're thinking. They're really living much more in the moment. It's the family that is exhausted and stressed.
I think of a lot of things ahead, in the future, and I think about myself and I go, golly, and as you describe it, Jennifer, I think to myself, I'm used to thinking pretty fast.
Right.
And, I think about slowing down mentally, and that's a very scary thought.
It is, but it is slowing down mentally. That's most people are terrified of that. But what a lot of people don't realize that Alzheimer's disease is also not just a cognitive condition. It is a physical condition. Eventually, your brain is not telling your body how to pick up a fork, how to open a door, how to dress. And then, at the end stages, our body really is shutting down. We're not able to go to the bathroom on our own anymore. And so I think most people tend to think of it as a cognitive illness, but people do pass away from Alzheimer's disease. And so it really is the brain and the body that are impacted by this horrible condition.
Serious, but very informative, Jennifer. Jennifer Fitzpatrick is our guest. She is the founder of Generations Health Education, generationshealth.com with a J, playing off the Jennifer. Okay, you guys get that? Generationshealth.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
That well-informed individual on the other end of the line with me is Jennifer Fitzpatrick, generationshealth.com. Jennifer, you really got it together. You've got this very much in focus, and I really appreciate you being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, David.
Yeah, it's really helpful, and I think my listeners are certainly getting a lot from this. Now, let me shift gears. We were really focusing in on the individual and the person experiencing these changes, which should always be, I guess, the focus. But let's talk a little bit about the family and the caregivers, maybe, talking about, adult kids who are going to need to tackle some tough subjects with their parents, getting into this area of cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's and things like that. In a lot of circles, these are taboo topics.
Yes.
So help us, coach us, Coach Jennifer, on how to have that conversation with our families. I've had that conversation with clients, and that was a challenge. But when it comes to family, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the thing is with speaking to your older loved ones, and look, an adult child or even a spouse, if you're thinking that there's changes going on, one of the first things to remember is your loved one is a grown up. They're not a child. And sometimes we see, people say, oh, parent, your parent. Your parent is still a grown-up. You can't treat them like a teenager or a child. And we have to respect them and treat them with dignity and understand that even if there are changes going on, we need to expect a certain amount of denial from that person in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're not, most of the time, they are not even really going to want to have that conversation. So any suggestions on how to approach
that? Okay, for one thing.
Wait a minute, Jennifer. Mom, I'm not planning on having this conversation with you anytime soon. Okay. Now, Jennifer, go ahead and tell us how we can approach this with our family.
Well, and you know, David, you make such a good point, because we that work in the field, we still struggle with it.
Yeah.
So, and every professional that I know in this field, it's the same thing. You know, no one likes having these conversations with your older loved ones. But, you know, especially, okay, so we're talking about the holidays coming up this week and next month. One thing is, be careful about bringing up too many tough topics at a holiday party or a holiday dinner. Try not to do that. Because sometimes we think, okay, everyone's all together, it's Thanksgiving, all the siblings are together, let's sit down with Mom before dinner.
Don't do that. What are you doing? She's got to cook. What are you thinking?
I mean, I'm sure you've seen families try do that. And I think the holidays are very good for assessing. Look at what's going what's happening.
Excellent.
And, you know, maybe you try to have a conversation on, you know, a couple days later. If you're really that concerned about your loved one and you're only in town for a few days, maybe come back or try to extend your trip a little bit.
Excellent.
But don't destroy a great holiday by, you know, bringing up these tough topics. But assess and keep an eye on things. But one thing is, realize you might have to bring this conversation up several times.
Sure.
You're probably going to get shot down. Now, there are the rare older persons who are saying they bring it up to their adult child, or their adult child brings up, you know, money and future planning or advanced directives, and the older adult says, "Yes, I'd love to have this conversation." That's very rare.
It's rare. Welcome, but rare.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, what we want to do is realize you have to be persistent. Try. And if Mom or Dad doesn't seem receptive, maybe, you know, you try it in a month, or you try one of the things, you know, somebody else tries. One of the keys, in my opinion, is the primary person who's closest emotionally and closest physically a lot of times is not the best person to have these conversations.
You're spot on, Jennifer, because, you know, you're creating a very awkward situation. You know, the outsider, so to speak, can say, look, here's what's going on. Then they can leave.
Yes.
And then the other person who's closer can then, you know, maybe help them deal with it, almost like they're on their team to kind of help them process and think it through. But I love the part you said, Jennifer, about making this something where you use the family gathering to assess, not to call somebody out on the carpet, okay?
Right.
And not even off to the side, because that's not the point of the gathering. And then, like you said, do it separately. Spend an extra day. If you're that concerned, if you're willing to express concern, then stick around and do it, you know, when it's not the focus of being together and,
right,
you know, making sure that desserts are coming out of the oven or that the rolls aren't burned. You know, I mean, that's the focus should be on the family gathering, but be assessing and paying attention.
Timing is so important. Somebody might be open to hearing a message, but if you say it at the wrong time, you're gonna get shut down.
Well, you know what, Jennifer? We've got to stop right there. Speaking of being shot down, don't want to shoot you down, but I could keep talking to you for hours on this. Jennifer Fitzpatrick's been our guest. She's a wealth of information. I'd encourage you to go to her website, generationshealth.com. Jennifer, we're going to have you back on another day, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.